the
pig. So how long did you have the pig? It was just a piglet when you brought it home, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it must have grown up, though.
Well, it got big, and I don't know, I can't remember what happened to him. Seems like my dad gave him to somebody. Because we had a garden on one side, and the pig was on the other side. That was before you got to the oak tree. But that was his little pig. And then my other brother, like I said, he had the chickens, but there was one special chicken.
That was his
pet. He'd get on his shoulder and walk around with him.
That's great.
So I think that chicken, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he became dinner one night or what. I don't remember, but seems like. But we had cats, we had a dog, and we once had my brother and my father. I kept hearing this noise going at the side of my bedroom. Like somebody was trying to get in, it was like a scratching noise. And I thought, what is that noise? And I went and told my dad. And finally, they went up in the attic, and it was this possum who had babies. And she was going up and down the side of the house at night. And she could get in through the vent thing in the attic. They might have never got a rat. But they got all those and the babies, and we had them out there in a cage for a while. And it was interesting to see them. I mean, if you put a piece of meat in there, they would about tear each other up, those little babies did. And somebody finally let them out one day, and we never saw them again. Oh. Hmm. I don't know if my dad decided to let them out, or somebody did when we were gone.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of interesting pets.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow.
So
now what happened to the house?
It was torn down. My dad sold it to Mr. Johnson and his son. From Johnson's Barbecue.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they were going to build apartments there.
Oh,
and I'm okay. So glad they didn't. And somehow their financing fell through or something happened. And they sold it. And I tried to tell my dad he was not selling it for the money he should. But he thought they were offering him a fair price, which they really did not. Mm. But he was the kind of person that he didn't believe in taking advantage of people. He would take them less money than more money. But anyway, they tore the house down.
The next people after the Johnsons? Mm-hmm.
When they built the dentist office?
Yes.
And okay. So that's when they tore down the house.
There was. Do you know how old it was when... Or do you have any idea when it was built?
I don't. Mrs. Raines owned the house that my dad bought. And I know it was an old house.
Yeah. So it was
old
when you bought it.
My dad installed a furnace after we bought it, a floor furnace. And all the other rooms in the home had fireplaces.
Wow.
And in one of my room... The actual fireplace was inside of a closet. Whoever had moved in there at one time had closed in that part as a closet, big, huge walk-in closet. But my dad mother's bedroom had a working fireplace.
Wow.
And he had put a stove in there, and then there was another working fireplace, and there was an apartment on the back of it that they rented out and they rented my aunt and uncle for a long time.
Oh.
And then some other people lived there as well with us.
Oh, okay.
That came in and wanted a place to live until they could find a place. The Land Streets lived there for a long time. And K.B. Jinks lived there, who later became a pharmacist. He was going to school. So they had that, and there was this huge fig tree out back of the apartment. They had the best figs.
Hmm.
We would go out there and get the figs, and it was huge.
Oh, so it was probably pretty old too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then down below, between right there at our property line, there was a big old pear tree, had the best pears. There was just all kinds of things, you know, there. We had a garden, and we had a cat that was a Persian cat that my dad brought back from Canada when my brother was a baby, just about. And my mother said that the Canadian authorities told them they couldn't take the cat over the border.
Oh.
And so they would have to take the cat. And so my mother said, "You mean you're going to take the cat away from my son?" And they said, "Well, we'll have to." And she said, "Well, you'll be have to be the one that takes it." So he started to take it. And my brother started crying. And he said, "Well, if you can get past the American authorities, you can go." And of course, the American people didn't say anything when they crossed the border. And so that was a Persian cat that lived to be 19 years old.
Wow.
And she liked fresh vegetables. She would go down to the garden with us, and she would pick string beans with her mouth. And she'd get a whole bunch of string beans and come up to the back porch. And while we were snapping green beans or whatever we were doing, she would eat hers.
Wow.
And she learned to ring the doorbell whenever she wanted to come in the house. She couldn't press it hard enough to make it. We had a doorbell that my dad had. It was an unusual doorbell because it would ring. It was chimes. And it was 8 chimes one way and 8 chimes back the other way. So it chimes like 16 times every time the doorbell rang. Well, it had a beautiful sound to it, though. But she would press it enough to make it make a noise. And whenever she had a mouse or something she wanted us to see, she'd press that doorbell. Or if she wanted to come in the house, she learned how to stand on the rocking chair and reach up and press that doorbell.
Yeah, very smart animals.
Yeah, we did.
Very smart.
This one's a smart little kitty,
this
too.
Little kitty. She's beautiful.
She was the one that got my husband up when I broke my back.
Oh, my word.
She went running. She heard me, and she went running to the back.
And got him?
Mm-hmm.
And he came?
Because he was asleep.
And woke him up?
She woke him up.
Well, you saved her.
Because it was starting to rain. There was nobody home. And I knew. I thought, how am I ever going to get in this house? I had just gotten in the house because she heard me screaming. But I managed to get in by moving my feet. And that's how I got into the house. And I was holding my back. And the outside door I had left ajar. I had rubbed my foot rolled on some gumballs that were up underneath leaves. And it caused me, and we had built that sunroom, and the dirt around it was just like concrete. And I heard the crunch.
Oh.
And so the inside door was not open, and I had to keep reaching up trying to get in. And I came in here and fell on that couch, and I didn't move after that. But by that time, she had gotten him up, and he was in here when I came through that door.
That's incredible.
It was.
So did you end up having to have surgery, or?
Actually, no. I went to the hospital. They kept me over there all day and said I couldn't go home until I could sit or I could walk, which I could do neither. And when they changed shifts, they suddenly told my husband I could go home. Got me a wheelchair and said, "Did you know you had a urinary tract infection?" I said, "Well, I surely didn't get an ambulance to bring me over here for a urinary tract infection." And they called me the next day at 4:30 and said the radiologist had read the x-ray and my back was the T12 was broken, which was near the T4, and if I move wrong I could paralyze myself, and then I needed to see an orthopedic doctor right away. And I said, "Who's gonna see you at 4:30? Well, if you get worse you can come back over here." And I thought, I'm not going back over there. You didn't do nothing for me while I was there except fill me full of pain medicine and send me home. I started throwing up before I even get out of the hospital from all the, you know, pain medicine. It was awful.
So, did you manage to find somebody to see you the next day, or?
No, I couldn't see anybody till Tuesday.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's terrible.
It was. It was awful.
So you didn't dare
move. My advice to people is, if you break a bone, don't go over there. And I know several people that they misdiagnosed. A friend of mine, they said she had not broken her sternum. The only way you could break your sternum was if you were in a car accident. And her sternum was broken. It was clear on the x-ray. I'm not a doctor, and I could even see it, the crack. She went to an orthopedic doctor, and he could not believe it.
What hospital is this?
Western witch.
Oh no. Oh, that's bad.
It's good for some things, but
Oh. So how long were you in recovery with your back then?
Well, I actually recovered much faster than they thought, because originally they thought I was going to have surgery. And, but I made myself get up and move around. Once I got the back brace, it was a heavy thing, but it was, you know, those metal stays. But it kept your back from moving, and I made myself get up, and my husband wanted the doctor to tell me I couldn't do flowers anymore. But he didn't. He said, well, if it makes her feel good, she can do them. But you'll have to pour the water in the vases and you'll have to enter the flowers. But I actually got me a little gopher stick and I could pick up the flowers, you know, and cut them and stand there. But I thought I would die standing there. If I stood in one place, and even to this day, if I stand in one place for a long period of time, it bothers me. But that at that time, it was excruciating pain. And finally, they said I could walk around the house. And I'd already been doing that. And then they said I could walk out in the yard, but to be careful because the yard was, you know, if you unsteady in walking in the yard. And then I could walk down the driveway, back up the hill, and then this cul-de-sac, and then the next cul-de-sac, and then up the hill. And once I did that, I was gone. I was out and about.
Wow. Wow.
But I just knew I wasn't going to just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got up and fixed my breakfast every day.
Wow.
Because my husband was, he never liked to eat breakfast until late. So I would get up and fix my breakfast, and he would help me do the other meals and things. He did them for me. Or somebody brought them to us, which was really nice. Some of the church people did.
Oh, that's good.
But, and when my husband was sick, the last time she saw him, he came home and he sat on the couch for a little bit, and then he just laid down, and we knew my friend, my daughter's friend was here, and she's a nurse, and she started checking him, and his pulse rate was so high, his heart rate was so high. So she called the doctor, and they were telling her some things that we might could do. But the kitty came, and they say a kitty can tell when somebody's dying. And she came over here and looked at him, sat on the floor and looked at him. And then all of a sudden she jumped up, sat on his chest. And he said, here's my titty. And he petted her for a few minutes, and all of a sudden she hopped down. And we had already called the doctor, and the ambulance was on the way. When she heard that ambulance coming, she was gone. But that was... He didn't live much longer after that.
Mm. Well, now, did he grow up here in Cary, your husband?
No, he was from Wilson.
Wilson. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And he went to State.
Uh-huh.
And he was actually dating one of my best friends.
Oh.
When I met him. And he broke up with her later and asked me out. And I called her and I said, is it going to bother you if I go out with him? Because I wouldn't go out with him if it did. You know, I would, and she said no, but I actually think it did. She told me that was the guy she was going to marry.
Oh,
when she first met him.
Yeah,
but he was a neat person. I never knew anybody that met him that didn't like him.
Oh, so now after you met and you married, were you living here in Cary or in Wilson?
We lived in Raleigh to begin with, right down from the governor's mansion on Eddington Street. And we lived on the third floor. We could actually see the demonstrations that went by in the 60s when they were demonstrating in downtown Raleigh.
Yeah.
It was so neat because we could walk to the theaters, to the movies, because there was a state theater and an ambassador theater downtown.
Uh-huh.
And we could go to the theaters after work. And
it was
really neat.
Now, what were the demonstrations for? Was it civil rights?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you got to actually
sit on the porch and see them going by.
Did that happen very often?
Mm-hmm.
It did. It did.
Right during the time when all that was going on.
Yeah.
There was quite a few demonstrations.
So they were marching in front of the governor's mansion?
They would march down from the governor's mansion, from the Capitol around. They'd get down by the Capitol, and then they'd come around and go down in front of the governor's mansion.
Wow.
So. Yeah.
So were you living down there when Martin Luther King was assassinated?
No, I think we had moved to Cary.
Okay.
When he was assassinated.
Yeah. So, gosh, that's incredible. Now, were they were basically peaceful, or did they get ugly that you remember?
No, they were basically peaceful.
Were they?
Mm-hmm. There was a few incidences where people got ugly, but for the most part, I think they were pretty peaceful.
But you didn't see dogs and fire hoses and that kind of thing going on?
They did have National Guard called out.
They did?
Yeah, because my husband was in the National Guard, and he thought one time he was going to have to be called out for that. He was called out for a couple of others, but they weren't here. But he actually knew, you know, basically when they were going to occur.
Oh, huh. So they were planned ahead of time, and they got wind of it, and were making plans for it.
But I know we had bought a new Ford Fairlane, and it was parked on the street. And one morning it snowed, and I happened to be looking out the window, and all of a sudden this car comes coming careening over, skidding, and smacked right down your car.
Oh.
You know, back then, at those apartments, there was no place to park except on the street.
Yeah.
But those apartments are still there.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
people
great.
People still rent them. They redid some of them, I think.
Yeah.
But they had radiator heat. That was the nicest, warmest heat. So, and there was a real nice older couple that lived there.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed them.
So then from there you moved to Cary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We moved back here, and my husband worked for DOT.
Okay. Yeah.
His whole career, that's what, he was in the National Guard for 28 years, and he worked for DOT 38 years.
Wow.
So,
and were you living in this house?
No, we actually lived in several places. We lived on Walker Street in an apartment. That's when I was pregnant with my first child. And then we moved down, not Walker Street, Urban Drive. Then we lived on Walker Street in a little house that the Olivers, who Ms. Oliver was a teacher, she taught first grade. And we lived there. And Herb Young, who owned the pool, and his wife Peggy, they lived on the corner there from us. And then we moved here in February of 1973, and it snowed the day we were
moving. Oh, no.
But the sun hits the driveway, so it would clear the driveway, and so, you know, we could get in and out.
Okay.
But the rest of this area, when it snows, going up that hill and then down the hill to the Chatham Street, that down the hill to Chatham Street usually does not get much sun, and it's real icy, and sometimes people couldn't even get out of there because of it. You had, if you went that way, it was icy too. But some people moved in up there and redid that barn, you know, that was part of the dairy here. And they live in it, but they never finished it.
Oh, they didn't.
And I would be on one side of it. If you look at it, you can see where it's not finished. But it would look like that critters would get in there and could come in where you are.
Oh. And they're still living there now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the guy that was the architect that did it, he died.
Oh.
They were the first ones that lived there. I don't know who lives there now. But he died, and that brick house was part of the dairy. The people lived there.
Oh, okay.
And we used to babysit for some children that lived there. And we babysat for the Ashworths with their kids growing up. So we had a lot of interesting experiences babysitting. We had some good children, and we had some that were little demons.
So how many children do you have?
I have two daughters.
Two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, did they go to school with the Ashworth boys?
No, because
same age?
No. They were, the Ashworth boys were older. They were born before our children were. And our children went to school at Cary Elementary. And then they went to West Middle School and, of course, to Cary High School. We were supposed to be the first class to graduate in 1959 from the new school.
Oh.
It was being built.
Yes.
Okay. And we were supposed to be, but it wasn't completed in time, so we were the last class to graduate from the old elementary, the old school.
Oh.
So that was, I think, more special than moving into the new school.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because my husband went to Charles L. Coon School, and he had a ring there, and they built Fat Ralph L. Fike, and they were the first class to graduate from Ralph L. Fike.
Oh.
So he had two high school class rings.
Oh.
One was from Ralph L. Fike, one was from Charles L. Coon.
Oh.
And he grew up, his father was a surveyor. So he grew up surveying, and that's what he did. He was in location and surveys unit for the state.
Okay, what was your husband's name?
Louis Marshall Phelps.
Okay.
Louis Marshall Phelps Jr.
Hmm.
He was a great guy.
Yeah. Sounds like he was.
He was.
Yeah.
Very special. He helped me do anything.
Oh.
I never went anywhere that he didn't open the door for me.
Oh.
And I never went anywhere that he didn't tell me I looked nice before we left.
Oh.
He was just a very special man.
That's wonderful. Now, what have your daughters done? Are they still here in Cary? Or?
One is in Andrew, actually.
Oh.
So when I go back to Andrew, it was interesting because when we went back down there, trying to figure out, because the railroad track, you know, the homes that we lived in there were gone.
Oh.
And there was, you know, other things there. So we were trying to remember, my other brother and I were trying to remember exactly, you know, where we lived. Because that was near a schoolhouse that I know my mother was giving my younger brother a bath one day. And she got involved in doing something. Somebody came to the door, I don't remember exactly what. But he got out of the bathtub and went streaking down the street, and he was going to the cool house to see Ed. That's what he called it, the cool house. And he was just maybe 5 years old, because I was, you know, about three or four, and he was going down the street. My grandmother lived with us, and she went and got him, brought him home.
Oh, cute.
It was funny.
So
and his hair was like cotton. We called him Cotton Top because his hair was so blonde. It was white.
Oh. But so your daughter ended up back in Angier?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's back there. Is your other daughter still around here? Or?
She lived in Mount Gilead until my husband passed away, and then she moved back here. And she's actually manager of the Blue Tiger in Apex.
Oh.
So that's a real unique gift shop.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So she lives in Apex.
Oh, okay.
And so I get to see both of them. I have two grandsons.
Oh.
And Michael, I used to keep him some for Sherry. And when he would come, he was unusual because when he wanted to go, you know, a lot of kids don't like to take naps. But when he got sleepy, he would go get Marshall by the finger. Come on, Grandiddy. That's what he called him, Grandiddy. Let's go take a nap. And that tickled my husband to death because he liked to sleep. And so he'd go back there and sleep. And then finally Michael would sit up in the bed, and then he would punch my husband and try to get him awake. And he'd, come on, Granddaddy, it's time to get up.
Wake him up again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cute.
It was so funny.
Oh, that's great.
And when we play games, it's so funny because he says, I spy with my little eye. So and so and so, when we play I Spy. But he always says, I spy with my little eye. And I just found a book that's of shapes and things. And that's what it says in that book, I spy with my little eye. So that's why I got that little book for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
I don't know if he learned that in school, at church, you know, in one of the little, because he's just five. Oh. He turned 5 in January.
Yeah. Oh, cute.
So, he's quite a little character.
Yeah.
And sure both of them, she has two boys.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you enjoy them both very much. Yeah.
And so she works at First Citizens Bank over there in off that Tryon Garner. Oh. That big facility.
Oh, uh-huh.
So.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
She enjoys that.
Yeah.
And we had this is where all her friends congregated. At my house, they all congregated. When I was growing up, we came to my house and played. And that's what happened over here. All the little neighborhood kids would come over here. And some of them still do.
Do they?
Uh-huh. They come out, they see me out in the street or whatever in my yard. They come up and talk, want to play and things. Yeah. I taught a little boy over here. He was almost 12 years old. He didn't have a lot of bicycle.
Oh,
and his mother, she just thought he was not very smart. They was an adopted child, and they had a child. And the little youngest child that was their own could do no wrong, and he learned how to ride his bicycle in 2 days. And I went outside, and I helped Michael, the other boy, Alan, get on his bicycle. And it was all I could do to hold him up because he was a big boy.
Wow.
But I taught him to ride in the backyard.
Aww.
And he was so excited when he learned how to. But I told her, I said, he's smart. There's something wrong. And finally they took it for testing. And the part of the brain that tells you how to put your thoughts on paper, he couldn't do. He could tell you. I said, he's very bright because he talks about things most kids don't talk about. All kinds of things about astronomy and things that he read. And I said, this is a very bright kid. He needs some help.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, well, maybe you got him some help, and yeah, hope that happened.
So he, they finally moved away, moved to Georgia. But I'm sure you probably got something about the Dennings being having their grocery store.
Yes, we interviewed Doris Denning. Many years ago.
Did you?
Yeah, before she passed away. And
she was one of my Sunday school teachers.
Oh, was she? Uh-huh. Yeah, she was great. I was just talking was about raising her kids behind the meat counter in the grocery
store. Yeah, and she was just a neat lady, and Mr. Denning was too.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was quite a kid. I remember he had big feet and wore these big black shoes, you know, that people wear a lot when they're on their feet all the time.
Yeah.
He was a big man.
Yeah, was he? Yeah.
And of course, their first grocery store was there, you know, right beside of what's Ashworth. And then it moved across the street.
Okay.
And then when he closed that grocery store, and people used to go in and charge groceries, you know, run up a bill and pay it. But they didn't have the money at the time. And then he moved, then he started Grocery Boy Jr. Because he owned that, what is now that service station down here.
Yes.
That Citgo.
Oh, uh-huh.
That little Minute Market. Oh, that was a grocery
right
Boy
at
Jr.
North West Chatham and Old Apex. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize
that. Yeah, that was a Grocery Boy Jr. And then that one down there that sits next to Cooper's Furniture Store.
Yes, yes. That great.
That was a great big Grocery Boy Jr.
Yeah.
So. I think that was just called a Grocery Boy.
Oh, okay.
But he owned a bunch of Grocery Boy Juniors all over Raleigh and Cary.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was quite an entrepreneur.
Yes, he was, because I don't think that they had many, if any, convenience stores in this part of the state before he introduced that.
Mm-mm. So. Yeah,
they didn't.
Yeah. If they were, they were few and far between.
Yeah.
I'm sure there might have been some.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Yeah. And there were some other grocery stores way back when as well, right?
There was a Piggly Wiggly on the corner where the appliance place is now.
Okay.
Mr. Hobby's appliance place.
Yes.
Then that became a Winn-Dixie.
Oh, okay.
And then later the Winn-Dixie, you know, built this new building, and then that became the appliance place.
Oh, okay.
And then later on, where the movie theater was, that became Carrie Clothers.
Oh, okay. I recently saw a picture of
that. And Randy Chandler ran that.
Oh, okay.
And then after he closed his store, he went to work for Belk's, and then that became the auto parts place.
Oh, okay.
And then there was Maxwell Insecticide was up there where that Austin Food Place is now. Part of Maxwell's was over here, and that big building was there, and that became Austin Food.
Okay.
And there was the Gowers, Macon Gower, and his mother lived over there near the railroad tracks, and then it seems like they moved into another house on the right-hand side, like you're going out that one of those big houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an A&P where the Kerry News is now.
Oh, okay.
That was there for quite a while. Because when I worked for the Highway Patrol at the Communications Center, when I first got out of, after I came back home after I went to Elon for one semester, my mother was sick, then I went to Hardbarger's. And when I left Hardbarger's, I went to work for the Highway Patrol.
Okay.
And that was an A&P at that time.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. That was back then. And there was a Kleiner's, Mr. Holland, where that Kleiner's is now. He ran that Kleiner's for a long time. That was downtown.
Okay, yeah.
And the post office was across the street. Where the bank is now, where Fidelity Bank, that was a post office.
Oh, that's what it was.
Back in there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I haven't, in my mind, quite placed that post office.
Yeah, it was back over there on that side.
Okay.
Where that bank building is now.
Okay.
And the other Joneses, which was the son of the Joneses that lived across the street from us, lived next to the Baptist Church, which is now owned by the church, that house is.
Oh, right.
And Eva Templeton lived in the house across from the Methodist Church. She used to have a little dog that she walked all the time. She loved that little dog.
Oh.
But she was quite a character, too.
Was she?
Mm-hmm. And Tareen Woodley lived down on the, as your Mr. Heater lived in on the corner of Harrison and Dry Avenue, and she lived on the, and the Bedenfields lived across from there, and Miss Bedenfield taught school, and then across on the, from the Hobbies, directly across on the corner of Harrison was the photographer, Mr. Coggins.
Oh, okay.
And he made my first recital picture.
Oh.
And when I played piano, the piano teacher lived in that house on Kildare Farm Road, that one with this now apartments.
Uh-huh.
That's where she lived.
Oh, uh-huh. Oh.
I think she and her sister lived there. And then across from the Bedenfield house on Harrison was where Tareen Woodliff lived for many years.
Oh, okay.
And then the Joe Sturtevant, who married the Cooper daughter that owns the furniture store, lived also right down that street. And Mr. Franklin lived down that street that owned the pharmacist.
Oh, right. Okay.
So there was just a few areas, and all back in that area, Russell Hills, you know, was woods when I came here.
So haven't been built yet.
Mm-mm. No, that was built. Wow. So I've seen quite a few changes.
Yes, you have. Now, wasn't there a drive-in theater over somewhere near the mm-hmm. Cooper's
that
furniture?
That was where McSwain's Trailer Park is now.
Yes.
They owned, McSwain's brothers owned that trailer park. But that was before they owned that. That was the outdoor movie theater.
Okay.
And we used to go there and, you know, watch movies and things.
Yeah, how fun. Do you have any idea how long it was there or when it closed?
it closed. My aunt lived across the street from there. And I sold her property. It's that little small thing that's now a glass shop. Place her property went all the way to the railroad track. It was built while I was in high school, I know. The trailer park was. So I'm trying to think. There has been a trailer park for a long time. I think the drive-in probably, and they left the drive-in on portion, on part of it before they completed the whole trailer park. They left part of it as the drive-in.
Oh, they did.
When they first were developing it.
Oh, okay.
So
there were trailers in and around the drive-in theater.
In fact, we lived in that trailer park. When we first moved back to Cary, we had a trailer.
Did you?
Yes, and neither one of us liked it. So it didn't. My husband said, "I'll pay somebody to take this trailer." And we lived right across from the pond, but you could hear everybody, and everybody could, you know, it was just. We lived across this couple across the street from us, and if you came and go, you could see the curtain coming back, and everybody was watching everything you did. So, but we didn't live there long.
Yeah, well, good place to start.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
but back then, you know, people didn't think that you were a good character if you lived in a trailer park. You know, banks and things that would lend you money or whatever.
Yeah,
or if you wanted. Like, if you wanted to take an ad out in the News and Observer, if you had a trailer address, you couldn't do that. You had to pay cash.
Wow.
I mean, that was, trailer people had bad reputations back then. That was another reason we didn't want to stay there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if people, it wasn't true, but trying to convince somebody,
yeah,
you couldn't do it.
Oh, boy.
But it was funny because my brother was the president of his class, and Marshall was the president of his class in Wilton. And he was also voted the most friendly in his class. But he was a person who liked to be around smaller groups of people. He didn't like to be around large crowds.
Yeah.
So that was just interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
But I don't know if you have any other questions about Cary or not, but
I can't think of anything offhand. I just loved hearing your stories about growing up in Cary and graduating the last class at the
and that was a neat thing.
The school.
And you know, we had Mrs. Marley, who lived on Reedy Creek Road, was a school teacher. She loved the boys. If you were in her class and you were a boy, you automatically were going to get passed no matter what. You could be the dumbest thing on the block and you would get passed. Miss Marley, she loved my older brother, and they, you know, they went to New York and they had the best time. And my other brother's class was the last one. I think his, that was the one after him, I believe. Yeah, it was the one after him. So they were so rowdy in that class, we didn't get to go.
Aww.
So we were supposed to go, but they were the last class, the one before us. So we didn't get to go to New York or Washington. They went to Washington, D.C. and New York.
Wow.
But Mrs. Marley was the one that always put on these Elizabethan plays. And you had real costumes that she rented, and critics would come and, you know, be at the plays and things. And they sold tickets, and lots of people, you know, came.
Yeah.
And we did Macbeth.
Wow.
I mean, it was really neat. She was very theatrical acting herself. But she was just a real interesting teacher. She knew a lot about, you know, plays and how to designate characters in the play. And I mean, it was a production back then.
It sounds like
it wasn't like anything, you know, we had. And Miss Rice was our English teacher. She taught my brother and me. And she just loved my, this was my other brother. And she just loved him. And then she taught me, and I can remember, if you yawned in class, she would say you were bored.
Uh-oh.
And you weren't getting enough options, so she'd make you go raise a window. If she caught you chewing gum, you had to swallow it.
Oh.
But she was a good English teacher. You learned a lot under her.
Yeah.
And Miss Boldridge was our Latin teacher. And she was an interesting lady. And we had one of the first, I think we were the first class that Mr. Lane, who was the coach, taught history also. And we had that, our lesson was taught by the TV. We had a lot of lessons that we listened to this woman on the television. And I think our class was the first one that did that.
So they had a television in the school that they brought into the classroom. Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Rude was the chemistry teacher who lived in the pink house. Her and her husband lived in that pink house.
Yeah.
Across from the church that Sheila owns now. And Sheila and her family, they lived up near the other furniture store, Nowell's, in between Cary and Raleigh. You know, as you're going out of Cary, and Nowell's, they had a, it was like, Sheila and her husband built a house, I think, that next to her parents.
Oh.
And lived there for a while. And then she started her own business. You know, she was in advertising and worked for this company. And she said that they didn't really cater to small businesses. And so she started her own company and has been very successful.
Yes, she has. Yeah, that's great.
So she's done a lot for the community, I think.
Yes, she has.
The Ashworths have done a lot for the community.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Carrie has been blessed with a lot of really dynamic people.
Mm-hmm. And Robert Heater, you know, old Mr. Heater, Mrs. Heater was a character. If you ever knew her, she was just a hoot telling about different things. And everybody knew R.O. Heater, but they had, one of their children had twins, Tom and Jerry, I think his name was Jerry, and they used to go, and they lived in the house on the corner, and they would go up to Dr. Hunter's house and get him up, you know, he'd go in there and they'd be in the bed, so he'd tell them to go down to our house. And they would come down, they'd get in the bed with my mother and daddy, their parents didn't know where they were. And they'd want to eat breakfast with us. And when their daddy came one day and tracked them down, and it was hard to tell them apart. And so he was whipping one of them because he had Tom. And he said, I'm not Tom, I'm Jerry. But they would just, you know, he thought he had one and he had the other. And it was a riot. They would come up to our house all the time. Just jump out of the bed and they'd take off.
Oh.
But they'd go to Dr. Hunter's and Dr. Hunter said, go see Miss Lancaster. I know she's got something. It was so funny.
Oh my.
That Dr. Hunter was a character.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. He was he had, you know, his office, he finally built an office that was down there where that Serendipity is now.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then when Dr. Thompson came and took over his practice, that's where he was. And then he moved up to that building now that's across from the church. And that's where her name was Nanny something. And she had a lot of chickens and rabbits and all kinds of things.
Nanny Leach?
Mm-hmm. And people told my mother when she was going, getting donations for charity, not to go down there. And you know, they found money in that house and the walls and everything after she died. But she gave my mother money. Nobody could believe it. But she did. I used to go down there and she had her little chickens in the house. She had all kinds of things around there.
Oh my goodness.
She was a character too. There was quite a few characters in Carrie.
Well, Charlotte, thank you so very much for taking your time today to meet with us and to tell us all your great stories about the tree and growing up in Cary and all the people you remember. We so appreciate it, and the town values all of these stories. So thank you for sharing with us today. We really do appreciate it.